Emergency isn't always synonymous with being fast. In this situation, it's really important to slow things down and take your time and make sure that everything is done properly and safely, taking those extra couple minutes that are actually going to be saving lives.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to COVID-19 Heroes. Before I kick us off, I wanted to enlist your help in helping this podcast grow. The reception so far has been phenomenal, and talking with three new heroes on the front lines of this response every week has been very humbling. Now, I would love to grow our audience base and have this podcast reach even more people. One thing that really helps is getting ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. If I get enough of them within the first 8 weeks of launch, the podcast could be featured on their new and noteworthy list, enabling even more people to find out about it. So if you are using Apple Podcasts, I would tremendously appreciate you leaving us a review, and if you are on a different podcast platform, maybe you can share your favorite episode so far with a friend. Today, I'm speaking with Sam Saunders. Sam is an EMT based in San Diego who had the opportunity to deploy to Oakland, California in March of this year and help disembark a cruise ship with numerous COVID-19 positive and suspected passengers on board. A once-in-a-lifetime event, Sam walks us through her experience. Hi, Sam. Thank you for being a guest on today's podcast of COVID-19 Heroes. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Sam, you are an EMT and you're currently based in San Diego. And very recently, you had the opportunity to jump into the front lines of the COVID-19 response by going up to Oakland and help a cruise ship disembark its people on the ship, including some COVID-19 patients and some other passengers. How was that?
Yeah, it was sort of a surreal experience. Definitely not something I imagined doing, but it was a learning experience for sure.
How did you get the call that you had to go? Or was it something that you volunteered for or something that you were assigned to do?
Well, they called me around like noon on Monday, March 9th, I believe. And then they pretty much just asked if I wanted to go and that if I did, I would have to be back at station packed and ready in like 3 hours. So I was actually at work, so they let me leave and go home. Luckily, my girlfriend actually left work early to meet me at home and help me pack and say goodbye. And then threw some things in a suitcase and was back at station by 3 and on a flight a couple hours later.
Wow. Did you have a go bag ready to go, or was it pretty much the first like experience that you had having to leave on such abrupt notice?
Yeah, it was my first deployment, and I didn't really know if I'd ever get one, so I didn't have a go bag packed. From now on, I probably should, I guess. But yeah, it was pretty frantic trying to figure out what I would need for a week.
So how was the whole experience? How long were you there, and what is it like working on such a unique occasion?
Yeah, I was there for about 10 days. Some people were there shorter, longer, it depended. It was very interesting, sort of surreal. Every morning we would drive over to the port in like a caravan of all these ambulances and disaster response vehicles, and is quite the sight pulling up to the big ominous cruise ship in the background and this line of emergency vehicles. And then there were all sorts of agencies there, like from federal level, state level, Coast Guard, everyone. So it was really interesting to see how all of those play out and work together. And yeah, just how they organized such a big, they kept calling them missions. I thought that was funny, but yeah.
What were some of the tasks that you were involved with?
So like day to day, we would just be staged at the port next to the ship. The DMAT, or Disaster Medical Assistance Team, I believe it's called, they would very slowly and methodically take passengers off one by one and sort of screen them and assess if they had any symptoms or not. Everyone who was asymptomatic, they pretty much went by bus to one set of quarantine sites, usually like military bases, or they would be sent to airports to go back closer to their own homes. And then the symptomatic patients, they would have us take them by ambulance to either a hospital for the first couple days, and then once they got a different sort of quarantine site figured out, then we would take them to those quarantine sites. So they would call us over, we would get all dressed up in our PPE, like our mask, face shield, gown, gloves, all of that stuff. And then DMAT would introduce us to these patients. It was normally two or three at a time. They tried to send people who were already traveling together to just sort of expedite the process. And then they would send us to these quarantine sites. One was about 30 miles north of where we were. One was over 100 miles south. So these were long round trip excursions, some of them lasting like 5 to 6 hours. They would send us in the middle of traffic a lot, just like the way the timing of everything worked out. Sometimes we would pick up people from hospitals and then take them to these sites, or take them from the ship or back to the ship, or we were going all over the place, but pretty much just getting these people where they needed to be to make sure they were safe and they weren't spreading the disease any further.
What were your interactions like with the passengers that you were transporting and also with the other people that you were working with on the ground?
Everyone that I was working with was amazing, and our supervisors were really good at trying to make sure we got enough rest and food, especially sometimes these calls would take us to 2 or 3 a.m. They'd try and make sure we got some rest the next day. And then the passengers, a lot of them were in surprisingly high spirits. They were just happy to be getting off, I think. Most of the time we were sitting on the port looking up at them, and they were on their balconies looking down at us, and it was just sort of everyone watching each other. Most of them, though, were pretty friendly. I think the crew sort of got the short end of the stick with some of this stuff. So they were trying to figure out more logistic stuff, especially since a lot of them aren't from the U.S., so they had more bureaucratic problems to deal with. But surprisingly, everyone was really nice, so it was a pretty good experience.
Do you know how long it took for all the passengers to get off the ship?
It's a great question. It kept being extended. As far as I know, there may have even still been some people on when I left after 10 days, but that was just a small number of the crew because they moved it out to Anchor in the bay. So the passengers were off probably within 6 or 7 days, and then a few extra days for the crew.
In what way was your work in Oakland different or more challenging than your usual days as an EMT worker?
It's a great question. Obviously, there was a much higher level of PPE involved. They didn't have all the right size masks when we got there. You have to be size tested for the N95 mask to make sure it forms a complete seal around your mouth. Otherwise, particles can get in and they're pretty much useless. So it took like half a day or so for them to get the small that me and some of my coworkers needed. I think we ended up actually testing out like 4 different masks to see if they would fit. But they were very, I was grateful. They were very cautious and deliberate in making sure they had the right masks and the right safety stuff for us. And I think we were also very lucky that this was all sort of at the beginning of when things were picking up in the U.S. So we had what we needed, but we were rationing PPE and being careful about it. And also the flow of communication was very different. There were so many different agencies working together, and it would take a long time for information to travel all the way down from the top to us and then back up to the top. So that was interesting to see. One day, actually, we were supposed to take this nice couple to the airport where their home state had chartered a flight to take them home, or at least to be quarantined closer to home. And it had like the approval of the governor and the vice president and everything. And then we got to the little gate on the tarmac, and the crew for the plane didn't actually know that these were passengers coming off of the cruise ship. So they didn't have the right PPE or equipment. And essentially the flight just got canceled because they should have probably had like an air ambulance, but it was just a normal charter flight. And then that night I went back to the hotel and I turned on the news, and they were running this now outdated footage of Pence talking about these same people being able to go back home. And it was just sort of surreal, like that I was there and I actually was at the ground level. And I don't know, just the flow of information back to the top is different.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even imagine being so closely involved with it and seeing it all unfold while being in the middle and witnessing as well the time it takes for information to travel and so on and so forth. So, I mean, clearly as an EMT, you are a first responder by nature, but had you ever imagined something like this happening where you would have to, you know, put on your uniform and go out and help in a scenario like this?
Definitely not in this way. I never really imagined a global pandemic where everyone was self-quarantining at home. But to some extent, yeah. I mean, it's sort of the same on holidays. Everyone's home and has the day off, but essential workers are still out there. And it's really interesting. Essential workers are pretty much all the same now as they always have been. On holidays, you have your medical workers, your grocery stores, restaurants, delivery workers, they're all still out there. The service industry has always been just as essential as medical workers, and I'm happy they're getting the recognition they deserve now through all of this.
What's the situation like in San Diego now?
Honestly, I don't have a ton of knowledge on what's going on here because everything is shut down and things like doctor's appointments are canceled. Non-emergency type ambulance calls are slowing down a lot. So other than the 911 system, they have been downstaffing some EMTs. So I haven't been working a ton lately, but I can say that just everyone here has been working super hard to make sure everyone is staying safe, no unnecessary germs are being spread. I know as crews go back to their stations, they have to take off all of their uniforms and they're always wearing masks even inside, and PPE is being, you know, rationed to some extent, and hospitals are setting up special receiving areas, and everyone's just working really hard to make sure this stays as contained as possible.
What lessons do you think EMT workers will draw from this? Clearly, they've been so integrated into this response, transporting so many people who have tested positive for COVID or other people who just need to get urgent care. What do you think they will draw from this?
It's definitely a huge learning experience. I think this is teaching lessons we wouldn't have really been able to learn elsewhere. One of the biggest things is that, like, an emergency isn't always synonymous with being fast. In this situation, it's really slow, really important to slow things down and take your time and make sure that everything is done properly and safely. When we were in Oakland, before we would take any of our patients through the hospital, we would walk the path first and make sure that everyone was out of the hallways and all of the patient rooms were closed, taking those extra couple minutes that are actually going to be saving lives. Yeah, you just have to slow things down when it comes to disease and infection. There's been this post that's been going around a lot, just sort of emphasizing that there's no emergency in a pandemic. And just the fact that we have to take care of ourselves before we can take care of anybody else. And working fast and missing a glove or a mask isn't going to be good in the long run.
How was this experience for your girlfriend? I'm sure she was also as shocked as you were, maybe even more shocked when you suddenly had to leave and go. And I think that's one big thing that, you know, we're also seeing through this. It's not just the people on the front lines, but it's their network as well. It's their families. And I'm sure she was probably worried about you as well.
Yeah, definitely. She was definitely worried for my safety, and I felt bad leaving because her sister was in town visiting and we had plans to go camping and go to a concert, which is nothing in the grand scheme of things, but it was things that we were really looking forward to together. And all of a sudden I was pulling the plug on that. But she's been great and really supportive, and we would talk every night and just check in, make sure we were all staying as safe as possible.
What's next for you? Are you going to remain an EMT or do you have other professional plans?
I'm actually working on applying to PA schools right now to become a physician's assistant. So yeah, just moving forward with my medical career.
And I'm sure that this experience will be very helpful in that endeavor. And
yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from this, and I'm going to take everything from this hectic time and try and turn it into something good and affect how I work in the future.
You know, we're hearing a lot of things about nurses working on the front lines and such. Have there been a lot of discussions around EMTs and maybe some challenges that they've been facing during this crisis?
I think especially in New York, you're finally starting to see people talk about this more, where it's so crazy. The paramedics and EMTs, they keep asking, and they don't want to go home at the end of the day because they don't want to put their family at risk. But, you know, they're not getting proper hotels or whatever they need to protect their families. A lot of people are running out of PPE and putting themselves in risk in that sort of way. Definitely a big challenge for everyone on all levels.
And what do you think you will draw from this experience on a personal level?
On a personal level, it's pretty amazing to see how all these different people and agencies can come together and work on these large scale problems. You're seeing resources get shared and redistributed where they're needed, whether it's PPE or people making masks. And it's a good feeling seeing people help other people out and just feel like the world's a little more connected in that way.
Sam, thank you so much for being a guest on today's episode of COVID-19 Heroes. Thank you for everything that you do as an EMT worker and helping out with that cruise ship disembarking its passengers.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and for making this podcast and everyone else who's been on it and all the essential workers. It's been a real learning experience. Thank you.
I'd like to close off this episode by thanking our emergency medical technicians. Without them, few of us would make it to hospitals in time to get the care and treatment we need. And during this pandemic, EMTs are exposing themselves to the virus on the front lines every day. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and as I mentioned at the beginning, if you could leave a rating or review of the podcast, I'd greatly appreciate it, as it would help the podcast be seen by more potential future listeners. Thank you so much, and until next time, I'm your host, Lorraine Schneider.